Good morning. I know you have to bear us for this week. So today we are looking at this portion where Jesus Christ goes, crosses across barriers to meet this particular woman. Last week, if we have, not last week, a week before, as Pastor Chad was saying, George, you spoke about the commission, the Great Commission. And then last week you saw how the gospel is progressing from Jerusalem to Judea, and then from Judea to Samaria, and then to the ends of the world, including all the Gentiles. This week the focus is on reaching out to Samaria. Now, we as a local church, I know we have some people like Simon and Lucinda and Georgie who are able to take this journey into going to other countries. But we as a local church, we have a lot of opportunity to reach out to other cultures within the community. And that is the focus of today. What can we do as a local church to reach out to these other communities? And what can we learn Jesus Christ as an example where he is reaching out to the community, which is almost despised by Jews, and reaching to a woman who was outcast within that community to show that his love is covering all these barriers. So let's look into this portion. As you saw, the portion is big, but the time I have given is 15 minutes. So the idea is to draw four or five practices or the lessons from this portion on how we can adapt this multicultural living or multicultural community in our church and in the community. Now, for any person to see that Jesus Christ is speaking to this Samaritan woman, they would be shocked if they are in the ancient reader. Because Jesus Christ and Samaritan woman, they're incredibly different. And those culture norms doesn't agree for these people to interact with each other. But Jesus Christ still did. What are the differences? To start with, she's a Samaritan. Samaritans were Jews, but they intermarried with the people of Assyria, which is a nation which conquered Israelite. And then they are the offspring of Jews and these people of Assyria. Now, Jews consider them as spiritual traitors, and they are like ethnic half-breeds, so they despise them. So Jesus Christ is crossing through, and she is a woman. That's the second barrier. Rabbi or a religious teacher cannot speak to woman, especially when she is alone. And finally, we see she has a very bad reputation. She has five failed marriages, and the person who she's living right now is not her husband. Now, Jesus is taking too much of risk to his reputation and everything he has earned by talking to this woman. He is crossing these barriers to reach to this person. The people in the town would see her through the lens of her bad reputation. Even the disciples and the Jews would see her through these barriers of being a Samaritan or a woman, but Jesus is able to see through the eyes of God where she is a creation of God, and he is reaching to this thirsty soul. Why should we do that? Now, if you see, Jesus has come down from heaven. I'm not sure if we can call that as heaven to earth as a cross culture, but he did cross many barriers. He died on the cross, and he showed that his love can cover these barriers. His love is not only covering the barriers of culture. His love is covering the barriers or the moral failures. His love is covering all types of backgrounds. And his love is covering the biggest barrier, which is the sin. And he reached us. Because he reached us and because he crossed all these barriers, he is asking us also, as his people of God, or his people or his disciples, to reach out, go out of the comfort zone, and make an effort for the sake of gospel. It is what it is written in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus tells the disciples that they will be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. So keeping that in mind as a church, we will try to draw four different practices from this chapter where we can also encourage this multicultural community. A multicultural community is possible only if we put an effort into it. It is not by accident or automatic. It is intentional. I have to make an intentional effort to encourage this multicultural community. Multicultural community seeks mutuality. It seeks equality. It seeks respect. Multicultural community is possible through hospitality. And in all this, multicultural community is possible through acceptance. At the same time, from this chapter we see, acceptance doesn't mean we will completely neglect the biblical convictions. So these are the four points we will just quickly go through in the next 10 minutes. First one, we see that Jesus Christ is going through Samaria. Now, one can go from Judea to Galilee in two ways. One is shortcut to go through Samaria. The other one is a longer route. Jews usually choose a longer route so they can completely avoid these Samaritans. But Jesus, it says that Jesus needed to go through the Samaria because he has an appointment. He knows he is going to have a conversation with this woman. And his disciples has gone into the town for food, but he made an effort to sit there in the hot sun at the well as if he is waiting for this appointment to have a conversation with this person. This is very true that unless we make an effort, this cross-culture relationship can't really happen. Take an example, if a person from Indian background walks into that door, it is easy for me to go say hello and then make a conversation for next 20 minutes because I can relate so many things with him. I have so much of knowledge that he has that I can make a discussion on. I have a lot of questions and also answers for making a discussion. But it would take an effort from someone from other background to go and talk, because what do you know that he knows that you can talk about? You need to intentionally make an effort and speak and make a discussion. And that is what Jesus Christ is doing here. And he encourages us also to come out of our comfort zone and take an effort, make it intentional, make a conversation, and then build up this multicultural community in the local church. Second one, we see the multicultural living seeks mutuality. Now, Jesus Christ doesn't give an impression that he is self-sufficient. Jesus Christ doesn't give a view that he got it all together and her life is a mess. In fact, he kindly, humbly asked for water. He asked for help. He needs a drink. And in the conversation later, he offered the help. I wanted to read this statement from this book, No Longer Strangers. That is too small that I'll read from here. In essence, mutuality is when we realize that in ministering to others, we are also being ministered to in return. Not in the sense of having a good feeling about what we are doing, but as broken human beings on all equal grounds, just as much in the need of compassion and kindness as grace as anyone else. What we are looking here is, by default, if you're coming from India, we moved to New Zealand from India in 2006. Anyone who migrates to Australia or New Zealand from a country like India, developing nation, can relate to what I'm saying. We feel our culture is inferior to the local culture. We feel our language is inferior to the local language. We know our visas are inferior to the people who are living here. And we know the social and economic status of us are inferior to the people who are living here. But there is one thing that is common. That is, if you remove all these layers, what remains is a broken human body, human person, human soul. And that broken person, a human being, needs the same compassion and the same grace from Christ. If we can come to that common ground, then it is very easy to build the relationship. I was meeting with this lovely family on the other day, and she's a Suresh's colleague, and then they came to our house, and that person, he was telling his story. They were non-Christians, they were Hindus, and he was starting to tell his story. And he said, like you, I was successful. Like you, I was very skillful in my work in the warehouse. Like you, I used to have a happy family. And like you, he said, like you 4 to 5 times. He has 2 boys, 14 and 15-year-old, and a little girl. And then he started to say, and then I got addicted to this alcohol. I ruined everything. I sold my house. My boys hate me now. They wanted me out of the house. He says, my colleagues look down on me, and I am nothing now. I wish I can also be like you. And then they came to hear our story, want to hear our story, and I didn't know where to start. He thinks I'm successful and well off, but the truth is, I am broken and have my own weaknesses. He says, after 4 p.m., if I don't drink, I can't sustain, and I regret everything I do after I'm drunk. But I started my story saying, like you, I am broken. The only thing is, your weakness is visible to people, but my weakness is not visible to people. But I have hope in Christ that I can share with you. Now that equality, if we can come, then he started to look into my eyes to listen to me. Unless we bring that mutuality, we cannot. If there is no mutuality, there is no sense of I'm serving you and you're serving me, then God is not honored. There is a person who is serving gets the honor. As this particular passage says, that changed my view a lot. We need to remember that we take all the layers off and then we will find a common ground, which is, I'm a broken person, you are a broken person, and we both need this grace, so we help each other. So multicultural living seeks mutuality. And the next point I wanted to bring is hospitality. Now, in this ancient time, hospitality is huge. We see that Jesus Christ, not only talking to this lady, he's ready to share a cup with this Samaritan, which is extreme for a Jew. But by sharing a meal, a person who is sharing the meal with a person, other person from other culture, is showing that I am accepting you and I wanted to be in community with you. Hospitality is not just sharing a meal doesn't make a difference, but sharing the life stories on the table makes a difference. I also wanted to read this statement from an article. It says, it is more than providing a warm and inviting atmosphere. I know we provide a very warm and inviting atmosphere here, but it's more than that. Instead, provides an open space in which to share values and learn from one another for the sake of mutual edification and spiritual growth. Brother Giri was telling that I had a problem, but I couldn't share in this forum. Why? I don't know. Maybe he might feel that you might have a different perspective of the same problem. Things that are more sensitive for my culture could be very trivial on your side. But if there is a space where I could share what I value and I could share what I'm sensitive to, and you know that what you value, then there is a position where we could make a relationship. I don't know about your home groups, but I think our home group has the most cultural diverse, right? We have a person from Greek, we have a person from United States, we have a person from Australia, from India. Even in India, we have multiple states coming together. I can 100% clearly say that I know dear brothers from other cultures like Chad and Rob, Kathy and Philip, Joy, a lot more now than I did go to that home group before. I have more bonding now because we have that space where I can, with freedom, share what I value, and I can clearly indicate what I am affected by from your culture. That brings the bonding, and this hospitality goes a long way in a multicultural living. As a church, we have to provide that sort of hospitality. So we may not have a separate Indian group. We might all just join into one big church. The last, but not least at all, is multicultural living needs acceptance. Looks like I missed the word acceptance. But that doesn't mean we can neglect biblical convictions. There are definitely cultures where certain things seem to be normal. And when we invite and accept the differences, we cannot forget the biblical convictions. We see Jesus Christ, he could have just given this living water to this lady and let her go on her way. But no. He said, bring your husband, knowing that she has a failed marriages, knowing that the person who is living, she is living with, is not her husband, but he still brought up saying, this is an issue that has to be dealt with. I accept you. I can share a cup with you. I can bring down myself to your level. You can come down to my level. We can have a good relation. But word of God is culture independent, or I should say, applies to every culture. If there is a sin that has to come out, and then that has to be convicted. We as a church, when we come together with multiple cultures in, and we accept each other, but the word of God still becomes the anchor point for all these cultures and diversity. And so we can adapt these practices to go beyond our comfort zone because Jesus Christ did it and Jesus Christ is asking us to do. We can practice these practices, I should say, and then add more multicultures into the church, or we could go into the cultures where that is needed. One last thing as a conclusion, and then I will close. Multicultural living results in multiplied impact. I know Jesus Christ took a risk in breaking through all these barriers and spoke to this woman. But this woman, in turn, went out into the village and brought the whole village to Christ. Now, this can happen in our church too. Jesus Christ answered in chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, that everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. For that, as a response, the lady on verse 28 to 30 says that then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. The multicultural living results in multiplied effect. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I humbly urge you and thank you to start with for accepting us as a different background into the church, but there is a long way to go if we can be more used to Christ as a local church. Thank you.